So I'm not sure if you know this, but there are some people right now. There are not many of them, but there are some who spend 8 hours preparing their uniform and preparing their mind for duty. And then when they go on duty, that they never vary from their command. Not a single step, not for a single second, no matter the weather or what time it is, whether someone's watching or whether no one's watching. You've probably seen the image, the unflinching guard. They're called sentinels. Those members of the 3rd United States Infantry of the United States Army. Those who guard the Tomb of the Unknowns at Arlington National Cemetery. Every second of every day since July 1st, 1937, the old guard has stood. This is not a typical or relaxed duty. It's very serious and it's very precise. When a guard comes on duty, he walks exactly 21 steps across the tomb, representing the 21-gun salute, which is the highest honor for any military or any foreign dignitary. Then he turns and he faces the tomb, and he stands for 21 seconds. And then he turns and he walks across the tomb 21 more steps, and he repeats this over and over and over again. They do not flinch. They do not waver. It doesn't matter their environment, whether it's raining, whether it is totally freezing and full of snow. No matter what is going on around them, they stay committed to their command and to their duty. They remain perfect. Even when no one is watching, they do not miss a step. They walk a different walk. The same can and probably should be said of those who carry the name and the calling of Jesus. That as we walk out this walk and we proclaim Jesus as our Savior and God as our Father, we too walk a different walk. A walk that is worth a worthy calling, honoring of Jesus. If you've been with us over the last 3 weeks, you'll know that we started the book of Ephesians and we spent the first 3 chapters learning and taking in and really trying to grasp the amount of favor and grace and all of that stuff that God has poured out and done for us. We have been learning about what it is that we put our faith in. We've learned that God has chosen us. We were redeemed by Christ and marked by the Holy Spirit. We've talked about and learned about how there is so much saving grace that all of this that God has done for us, we can't measure it. We really cannot comprehend it. It is so amazing. But now, this morning, we're going to move. We're going to look at something different as we approach chapter 4. It's not going to be about what God's done for us. It's going to be what we should be doing for him. How to walk a worthy walk. How to walk in honor. And Paul just jumps right into it. In verse 1, he says, I, therefore a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Paul says, I urge you. That word urge is I beg you. I am pleading with you. I have so much emotion and so much passion about this. I am begging you to walk a worthy calling. Now, we're looking at the English Standard Version this morning, the one that preserves the word walk. If you were to look at the NIV, it would say live. And they mean the same thing. The difference is they keep the word walk. But the NIV, they spell it out for us. It's like they're writing it out and explaining it. But we're going to stay with walk. And the reason is if I use the word live, a lot of us can say, well, I live. I'm alive. But we don't have to leave our walls. We wouldn't have to get outside our comfort zones. So we can say that we're living if we're just sitting. But when you hear the word walk, we really realize that we're talking about movement. We're being asked to go, move, and not stay still. So we're looking at how to have a walk worthy. And Paul's saying, I want you to walk like I would walk. Walk like I would walk if I was out there among you right now. But see, he's writing from prison. He was arrested. Arrested for what he believes, for sharing the gospel, for being the apostle that he was called to be. But even in that circumstance, he doesn't stop walking a worthy walk. He doesn't stop sharing the gospel. He finds good and opportunity even in his difficult circumstance. In Philippians 1:12, he writes this, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Even in prison, people are learning about Jesus. Their lives are changing. God is using the unfortunate circumstance, this time period, this difficulty, to reach others. Paul writes in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Paul never loses sight of Jesus. He never loses sight of what Jesus has done for him and what he needs to do for him. With his commission to go out and make disciples, he never stops. He's a great example to the rest of us, how life can be so difficult. And we heard this morning, for some of us, life is extremely hard. It's confusing. We are losing those that we love, all ages, all circumstances. Fellow brothers and sisters, it is very difficult to read about and to know about. But no matter what, we still can walk this worthy calling. Now, when you study chapters and you're going to get up here and we're going to let everybody know that this is what Paul's saying, and I want to say to you that this is what we need to do, you have to take this hard look at yourself. I have to take a hard look at who I am in order to be able to say to you that this is what we need to do. And so I ask myself the question, am I walking worthy of my call? That worthy walk. Taking the time to say, am I even worthy to say this to anyone else? Am I following through? And so what I want to challenge you is to take a moment and to ask yourself, just reflect on your walk for a moment. Are you walking that worthy calling? Whether someone is watching or whether you're all alone, are we actually walking it out? Now, some of you might be saying, I have no idea what you're talking about. What's a worthy calling? What does that even mean? Well, I'm glad you're here because that's what we're going to break down so we can walk out of here today being on the same page, knowing what it is that God expects of us to give back to him. And the first thing that we're going to see is that we need to walk in unity. Paul is talking to the believers, and we need to walk in unity. And he says in verse 2 that this walk that we're walking, that we need to walk with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to walk in humility and in gentleness. Humility means, do we really understand? Do we really walk with an awareness of just how small we are? Being aware of how little we are, understanding that we could not save ourselves. We could not save anyone else. It is very difficult to change our circumstances. We needed the Most High, the Most Powerful. We needed to be saved. We needed a Savior. We become very connected to how little we are. We walk in gentleness. That doesn't mean that we walk in weakness. It means that we walk in power, but in control. We walk through the power of the Holy Spirit to walk out this walk. But we walk in control as life pushes back, as people push back and tell us that what we believe doesn't matter, that it's just a crutch or it's fake or Jesus wasn't real. And yet we still have this gentle response filled with love and patience that Paul is talking about, that endurance, that ability to not seek revenge or to become hostile with someone else. He goes on to say about bearing with one another in love. It just means that we forgive one another. We forgive people and all their shortcomings. We need to remember, we were forgiven in all of our shortcomings. God bared with us in love as we walked separate from Him. It's what drew us to Him. We cannot find a love more amazing or equal to anything that we have experienced in Christ. And so we bear that same bearing of love and patience and endurance as we deal with others, as we deal with brothers and sisters. He says, endure or be eager, which means be diligent. Make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word bond, if you're following along on your notes, you might want to circle it, because bond actually means ligaments. Ligaments, the muscles. Think about the muscles in your body. The ligaments that hold us together, that bond us together in peace. My daughter broke her foot this week. She broke the bone along the pinky toe. And I remember them saying to us when we were in the hospital, we're concerned that she might have taken a ligament with her, with the break. And I was reading this at the same time and studying this at the same time, and I'm thinking to myself, that thing that's holding her foot together, that allows her to walk, I realize she can't even walk right now. She can't put any weight on it. With that ligament being gone and that bone being broken, it's not joined together like it should be, so she can walk the walk that she needs to walk. So if we think of ourselves as ligaments, holding and connected to each other, as brothers and sisters, that's what we keep each other together and united to walk in unity. And we have to be able to walk out all these things, because there is one body, one church. We are one family. All the churches who are worshiping Jesus, all the services we've had this weekend already and the one to come, there are so many of us, but we are one. And one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, just as you were called or drawn to one hope in Jesus that belongs to your call. What belongs to your call? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is in all. He is of all. He is through all. There's no one higher. There's no one greater. There's no one more powerful than our God, the mighty God who we worship this morning, who joins us together so we can walk in unity. One of the things that I really want us to take home from this point is that we are affecting one another. If we are not walking in gentleness or in kindness or in humility or of that list of things, we're not just affecting ourselves, we're affecting the body. In Romans 12:5, it says, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We are one. But yet, we are also individuals with talents and gifts and passions and desires and personalities and weirdness. And He uses all of it. There is no one in this room, no one, if you proclaim Him, if you would say that you are saved, He is using you. He will continue to use us and shape us. We all affect another, all for Him. Now, what I want to really highlight in this next one is that I realized how important it is that Paul, that God gave Paul the ability to tell us how to live like this. Because the truth is, it's a good thing that God didn't say, hey, you're saved. Now you can just go figure it out. Whatever that means to you. Instead, He gives us instruction. And in the next point, He says, walk in spiritual health and growth, we are going to see that walking in spiritual health and growth is extremely important. Picking up in verse 7 says, "But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift." Grace, that free, undeserving gift that was poured out for us through Jesus, and it's measured by him. Do we know that there's nothing else that we can do to be more saved, to be more loved, to be more liked? Christ knew exactly what needed to be done, how much needed to be poured out, what measure we needed to bring us to a place in which someone bore our sins, who hung on a cross, died, and rose again, and sits in the highest place of honor, all so we can have relationship with God the Father. He didn't leave us out to dry. Instead, he loved us so much. He sent us a Savior, and there's nothing greater than this free gift. He goes on in verse 11 and says, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, the teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." See, he gave us all of these people, all of these ways in which we learn how we spiritually grow. He gave us the apostles. Paul was an apostle. Those delegates, the messengers who are sent out with orders. There were the 12 apostles. What was their mission? What was their message? To go and make disciples of all the nations. Spread the gospel. Ripple it out. Do not stop until every person has heard and is saved. That was their mission. And then we have the prophets, the spokespeople for God, those who are moved and empowered by the Holy Spirit to give the message of God. And in the Old Testament, we see this. Old Testament prophets, what did they tell us? They sent and they foretold of a Messiah, Jesus and his deeds, and even of his death. He also gives us evangelists, those who are bearers of good news. So really, we are all evangelists. If your mind instantly goes to standing on the soapbox and being that evangelist, that's up to you and God. But for most of us, it's going to be relating to one another, every opportunity that is found to share the gospel. If you know him, you have good news. You can bear and testify to the power of Jesus, to the transformation that takes place. He goes on and says, the shepherds, which is also pastors and teachers, they're put into the same category. Those who have the opportunity, the responsibility to oversee the flock, to feed them, to teach them, to dive into the scriptures and know what they mean in order for all to understand the gospel, all to understand God's word, so we can grow spiritually. So we don't stay children and infants in the word. See, people pour out into us. And the idea is that as we fill up and grow and become spiritually healthy, we pour out into others. Because he says in verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. See, we can't stay infants. We can't stay a baby who cannot do anything, who can't feed themselves, can't get up and rescue themselves, know the difference between right and wrong. There is a period of time in which we need to be poured into and guided and told and follow the wisdom of those who have walked before us. But there is a time in which maturity, growth has to happen, where we walk on our own foundation of Jesus and pour out to others. Do we know that there are a lot of prophets and apostles and evangelists and teachers and shepherds in this room? You might think, no, that's for someone else who can stand up in front of a ton of people. We are all gifted by the love of God. And there's probably people in here who have so much wisdom and so much opportunity, and you're doing it in smaller sections. But there is a time to pray and say, use me, Lord. Is that what you want from me? Teach me so I can pour into others. He goes on in verse 15, rather speaking the truth in love. That word love means speaking in affection or in benevolence, which is just a fancy word for acts of kindness. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I love how he's talked about the bond and how we have ligaments. Now he's talking about the joints and the body. But the most important piece, that we grow up into the head, that is Christ. It's really important. Think about your body. How does it work if the head comes off? If you remove the head, there's no life. Christ as the head is the only life that we have. It's true life. It's real life. And so we are walking in unity. We are growing and becoming spiritually healthy because Christ is leading us, directing us. He is the head of this entire body. We cannot do this without him. We are joined together by him. We operate in our gifts and our talents by him. It is all through him. Now, this is easier to do for some of us when we're here at church on Sunday, or maybe in our small groups, because we know for a fact that we all have similar beliefs. We're fighting for the same thing. We can walk in unity and we spiritually can grow. But what when we're not here? What about when we go out into the world and we run against those who do not believe what we believe? Someone asked me this morning, what do you think it's like when someone cuts you off on the road and then you both pull into the parking lot? I thought that was a great analogy. It's like, you know what happens. Those times where we're tested, we still have to stay strong in the world. And Paul reminds us in our next point that we need to walk away from the old life. We must walk away from our old life. Beginning in verse 17, it says, now this I say and testify in the Lord. So he's just saying, everything I've told you in the last three chapters, everything we've written, we've talked about, I've addressed. You now have this amazing walk. You must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. In the futility of their minds, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. We can relate. He's talking to those people in Ephesus. He's reminding the Gentiles, remember, this is who you used to be. Because if you remember 2 weeks ago, we talked about this. He wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Remember, we talked about this. There was a time in which the Jewish community could say that they were the in crowd. They were the chosen ones. They were the circumcised. And Paul addresses and says to us back, what we already learned is that through Jesus, the walls are broken down. The Gentiles now can have Jesus. We are one. And we walk in unity. And he reminds us that you have to put off that old life. Do not walk as those who do not know him, who choose not to follow him. Their hearts are hardening. Their emotions are numbing down. Their minds are futile because it's being filled and used for selfish desires, doing only what they will, what they want. See, what Paul's addressing in Ephesus isn't really much different than what we deal with today. We see the same thing. where there is this choice to follow him and walk a worthy call, or there is the choice to follow evil or our selfish desires and dig in and just do what makes us feel good today. We're continuously reminded, just do what you want to do, what makes you happy. Don't let someone else determine your happiness. If it feels good, then do it. But we as Christ's followers do not live that way anymore. We've put off the old life. Because he says in verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. We no longer live that way. We walk a new walk. We walk amongst brothers and sisters. And as we're going to see right now, he's saying, walk away from that old life. Embrace the new life. Walk in this new life. We've been given new life. In verse 23, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, as if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. If you accept Jesus, if you say, be my Savior, I need help, rescue me, I give my life to you, it happens right here, right now. He doesn't say, I'll put you on my calendar and get to you. He says, in that moment, I'm right there. He's instantly working. It's instantaneous in which we attain new life. We became new creations. In verse 25, it says, therefore, having put away falsehood, which means lies, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Speak truth with your neighbor, with your brothers and sisters. But when you look up neighbor, it actually means any man from any walk of life. Speak truth to everyone, not even the little lies. There's no such thing. A lie is a lie. It also goes on to say, you can be angry, but do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. We all will be angry at times. But there is a way to be angry without sinning. Jesus got angry. He flipped a few tables, if I recall right. He was not happy, but he did not sin. There are people who tell me a couple times a month, married couples, they'll come in and they'll say to me, we just don't want the sun to go down on our anger, so we stay up and we fight through it. My first thought is, you need sleep. But then the thought that comes to me, why do we get so angry that we actually cannot work out our issues before the sun goes down? What is going on with us as human beings, as Christ followers, who proclaim him and fill up with his love, who have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us and giving us life? We are so angry that we seem to just sin and then later we'll just say, oh, will you forgive me? Or I'm sorry. See, I challenge us to work on our issues, whether they're past things that are unresolved, to dive in, to deal with our anger so the sun doesn't go down, that actually love wins out over our anger. That we love someone so much that we won't let it get to that place. He goes on and he says, let the thief no longer steal. He wants them to do honest work. And I thought to myself, well, that only pertains to a few people. Maybe some people have never stolen anything before. But then I thought to myself, in some ways we all have the theft issue at some time in our life. Maybe it's stealing attention. Trying to get in the limelight, putting ourselves first, trying to steal someone's time because we just want it to all be about us. And so at times we have to say to ourselves, honest work. We need to do that. Honest work in ourselves could mean that we need to sit back, take a breath, and not have it be all about us. but to trust God that he will meet all of our needs and give us what we need to move forward and to be successful. It goes on to say, no corrupting talk come out of your mouths. We need to edify one another, not yell and scream and put each other down, say things, gossip. We are supposed to be edifying the body. The words that we say, whether we're alone or to someone else, God knows. Remember last week, Pastor Dave said, the angels are our audience. They're watching. It goes on to say, do not grieve the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. It means do not offend the Holy Spirit. Do not allow, do not create sorrow. Do not, it actually fully translates into, do not make the Holy Spirit sad. The Holy Spirit living, breathing, filling our lives, redeeming us, is a person. We don't say the word it because objects don't have feelings. So if we can remember that the Holy Spirit, part of the Trinity, given to us, we do not want to grieve it. Don't offend it. Don't walk a walk that causes the Holy Spirit to be sad. He goes on and says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, clamor means crying, and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, which is the desire to hurt others. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. To walk in unity, to grow up and say that we are maturing, to put off the old life and embrace the new, is to walk in this tenderheartedness and to treat people differently, to be set apart, to walk differently than those who do not proclaim him yet. See, it's one thing to say that we are saved. We all could say, I have been saved. But what does it matter if you are not doing anything with it? It's like saying, I have a computer. I can dive into it. I can figure it out. I can figure out how to make it work. All the things it takes. And then it could benefit my life. Help me with my finances. Get me a job. People make tons of money with computers. They can be beneficial. But then we can also say, I have a computer, and not figure it out, but I can still say I have it. It's not benefiting my life. It's just something I can say I have. See, we don't want to walk around saying that we are saved and not walk a walk worthy or honoring of Jesus. So I want to challenge us. We are going through some difficult times. That was only part of the people who have passed away. We will tell you of others that passed away as those funerals get closer. It's a tough season. We are looking for a pastor. We are doing a lot. We want to be a church who is walking worthy of the Lord. And so I'm going to challenge us, like I normally do, to take an action. I'm going to ask the band to come back up. And we're going to have a time of ministry as they sing. But there's a possibility for all of us to participate in. This action, this challenge of maybe those of you who say, I am saved and I'm walking the best I know how. Then maybe this is the time. This is the time that we say to God, I want to make sure I'm walking in honor and of you, walking a worthy calling. So please, Lord, show me. Show me what I need to work on. He will bubble to the surface what you can handle right now, what you can deal with. He will sharpen us. He will change us. He will grow us. But let's dive in and say right now as we worship, am I walking a worthy calling? But if you don't know him, if you don't know him, you might be thinking to yourself, I can treat people gently. I can treat people kindly. I'm a good person. Absolutely. Absolutely. But we're doing it in our own strength apart from him. and we grow tired and we run out of steam. And we only do it for our own purposes, or we try to keep up this goodness of ourselves and our own power, and it'll wash away. With Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, it never goes away. We always have the Holy Spirit living in our lives. And yes, life will be rough. You heard it today. Doesn't make it perfect. And I'm not going to say it makes it easier. But I am going to say it makes it worthy. It makes it worth it to walk for Him. So if you don't know Him, to take this opportunity and say, very simply, I need someone. I need you, Jesus. I want a Savior. Save me. I want to walk in new life because the current life is not working for me. And so as we come together to sing and worship, I'm going to ask those who are on the prayer team to please come up as soon as the music starts. I want everyone to stand because I want you to feel the comfort, the bravery, whatever it takes for you to come forward and to be prayed for if you need prayer, to worship if you need to worship, to raise your hands or to kneel or whatever it is that God asks you to do. So right now, if you could stand, let's sing and pray together.